Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Questions without notice.
Oh, I can join in 1-300-736-736-0433-98-1116. Anything we haven't got to or that we have that you want to explore a little bit more? I've got one for you. The Adelaide Crows last night, just as we were coming off air, in fact. So
yep.
It was about 6:27, 6:25 or something.
Right.
By the time we saw it. Wrote a letter, open letter to members and fans apologising publicly to Jenkins, to Betts, to Gibbs and anyone else who's been affected. I've spoken to you since it all unfolded. What is that enough? Is it too late or did they have to do that?
Well,
got a line drawn underneath it?
Well, I think your answer to this earlier this morning was that it may play out potentially in the courts as well, depending on what happens and the action that's taken. So it may not be the end of it, but it's the very least that they can do under the circumstances is issue that apology publicly. Mm. It's late and I would hope that they would also see it important enough for them, if they needed to hop on a plane and fly to Melbourne, if this is where Eddie Betts is, I'm assuming he lives around Melbourne somewhere, and Josh Jenkins and those who are most aggrieved, and deliver an apology face-to-face, person-to-person as well.
Is the fact that there are five members of the board who are at the football club at the time on the board still remain, is that a problem?
Visually, it probably is, but then you would be reliant upon those people telling you exactly what took place, would you not, if you were a board member of a football club? And if that message and that hadn't been articulated accurately and clearly to you as a board member, and maybe you push again, but a lot of people pushed over there in Adelaide and didn't find the answers to it.
No, I don't think it's necessarily that part of it is still problematic, but you're right, it's the ensuing 4 years. What have they done as a board in the ensuing 4 years? Has that been satisfactory?
Well, you would hope that they tried to get to the bottom of it, but they haven't been able to get to the bottom of it. They thought it important enough that they would try and find the answers out. But those people in power have been telling them what they've wanted to tell them without going into great detail.
Have
clearly.
They reached out to Eddie or Josh or Bryce or any of those players, the board members who sit there and for those, and you hear it. Everyone's been hearing it.
Mm.
What did they do?
I don't know.
What did they do to try and get a satisfactory result?
I don't know. Do you know whether or not they worked hard enough to get a satisfactory result?
I don't, but it would appear not, given that, what Josh Jenkins and Eddie have said in recent times.
Mm. No, that would be the case, very much the case. You had a look at young Sammy Darcy at the weekend.
Yep.
You got a great eye for young talent. And we don't want to put too much pressure on this young kid, but when he grows into his body, and I think he's actually still growing according to Luke. So he's still, he hasn't finished growing necessarily yet.
He looked like it.
When he catches up to all of that in, say, 3 years' time, what do you think we're going to be saying? That is he a defender? Is he a ruckman? Is he a forward? Where do you think he'll play the most of his career?
Well, I said this too during the game, that I think that is the question that will be asked in 10 years' time. Where's the best position for this kid? Because clearly, from what you saw, he took 5 intercept marks and went for everything and read it well, but he also got pushed down the footy and all that sort of stuff, which you'd expect for a first gamer. But he could do that going forward, and he could do it in the ruck. He's 3 centimetres shorter than Max Gawn right now. So he might be just one of those ones. And isn't it unbelievable? You say you got the other guy who's the best young key defender in the competition is 204 centimetres. Sam De Koning at Geelong. Mm. So the changing face of the game. Used to be if you were 200, then you played ruck or not at all. Now you've seen this different breed of athlete come through. So it was exciting to watch. I know the Bulldogs think they've got something pretty special on their hands, and nothing that we saw on the weekend would suggest otherwise. On the Bulldogs, why did Bailey Smith only sign for 2 years if he's 21?
Well, I think young players and their management would be cognizant of the fact that the landscape changes. There's a new broadcast rights agreement that's going to come into play. How much money is going to be about that type of thing? So, and he is only young. So for them probably to tie themselves to the Western Bulldogs for, the long term is something that they don't need to consider right now. Mm. And they don't. There's a couple of great acts of sportsmanship at the weekend.
Just on that, I think you're on the money. The 2 years is the end of the broadcast deal. And then so he can sit down, whether it, well, yeah, who knows? Some people say it's going to be done by the end of this month. But
there's no necessity, is there, for a young player at 21 years of age to overcommit themselves anywhere at the moment?
To lock himself away, no.
Well, given what do you need to do that?
Given he's had some challenges off field, to lock himself in long term might be too restrictive.
We talk about a lot about the negative things that happen in our game. I want to give you two examples of really positive things that happened at the weekend.
Oh, good.
Josh Kennedy, the Adelaide Crows players, they all lined up, and then he went along the line and thanked each one of those players, the Adelaide Crows players. He shook their hand individually. Great effort on his behalf and great for the game and the Adelaide Crows too. I applaud that and that sportsmanship.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other thing that happened very briefly in a game, I don't know whether anybody talked about this or not, but Bont accidentally knocked the ball into the face of a young Bulldog fan, and his immediate reaction, it was just the most natural reaction. Oh, crikey, what have I done? I'm sorry, I've hurt somebody. Went across in the middle of the game and then made sure that the kid was okay. It was a beautiful moment captured in the game.
But the ball got thrown in and tapped to his man, Mundy, who kicked the goal.
Well, you don't need to mention that.
No, I didn't. I'm joking. No, he did. And
the presence of mind to say, okay, well, hang on, this has happened. I just want to make sure that kid's okay. Good on the Bont.
Good on the Bont. And along those lines, Luke McDonald ran to the aid of Aaron Hall, who had bad cramp, and helped him out with his cramp.
Unfortunately.
Only a metre and a half out from his defensive goal.
That's right. as you pointed out last night on your little show, that was very funny. When someone's lying there on the ground screaming in agony because they've got a cramp, I mean, the natural reaction is to go and help them.
Not when you're playing on Tom Papley, it's not. Hey, me and Corn get on very well.
Yeah, we all
great
do.
Pleasure,
we all like the Corn.
I don't think you do. You get ornery with a lot of the stuff he said. And
I disagree vehemently with a lot of stuff
you were
he
ornery
says.
Over this particular piece from last night.
I've been interested in the way that they're celebrating their wins, and it appears over the top to me. I mean, this sort of stuff, Hutchie, I haven't seen stuff like this for a long time. We've all loved what they've done, but they haven't achieved anything yet. What I would say to you and ask you the question is, you don't see Geelong doing this. Fremantle have qualified for finals. Have you seen them doing that? If I was advising them, I'd say keep a lid on it, narrow your focus, and we'll judge you when you win in September, not in round 20.
I think he is so miserable that I think he puts up the Christmas tree with all the decorations on them, gets his kids out there and puts a match to it.
You're a loser.
How can you criticise Collingwood for their over-celebration?
You think Corn burns his presents as well?
Yes, in front of the kids, the little kiddies. He probably invites all the kids' friends along too so that they can all enjoy it. What? I mean, that's ridiculous to say that they're over-celebrating. They've had some great wins. They've had some great come-from-behind wins. They're enjoying the moment, which is probably all that the coach has preached since the moment that he arrived there.
Yep.
If there was this high and low about performance, then I think there's some accuracy to what he's saying. But when you can continually show up week in, week out and perform at that level of consistency and come from behind and win, I mean, it just goes to the heart of the culture and the character of the players.
You think he's the Grinch?
Oh, 100% he's the Grinch. 100%.
Righto, this is one for you to think about as we get some news headlines and you can answer on the other side. I was driving to work and I was listening to Andy and Gazy. Normally, I don't listen to the radio at that time because of where I am, but in the car Monday, and I don't know who asked the question. Might have been Gazy. Might have been Josh Jenkins. Not sure. If Carlton don't make the finals, can it be deemed to be a successful year? I want to ask you that question. We'll hear from Harry McKay on the other side of this. Can Carlton claim to have had a successful year if they fail to make the finals? Here's what Harry McKay had to say.
Whatever happens for the rest of the year, I guess that's outcome-based. But for me as a player that's been there 7, 8 years, this 12 months has been a success. And whether that comes to finals or whatever it is, I think we've taken a really big step into the right direction. And, yeah, Vossie talked the other day. Hopefully it's a long book and this is just chapter one. We want to finish off the chapter really well, but it's definitely still a success, I reckon.
Big Harry on the couch last night.
Yes, they're improving. And that's what you want to see from a team. They are improving.
So success.
Well, you know, success can be measured in a whole different lot of ways, but they are still improving. And their graph is going in the right direction. Their trajectory is going in the right direction.
So, yeah, Harry's saying that.
And that's what he's saying.
It's outcome-based if you just put it down to whether you do or you don't. You can still have success and not win a premiership.
Yeah. They built up a level of expectation based on their performances early in the mid part of this season. And I remember seeing him and thinking, yeah, they're capable of actually winning the flag. You know, this team can win the flag. They've got some problems at the moment, though, and partly to do with injury. And Newman is a very important player to them. He's out injured at the moment. Hewitt was enormously important to that midfield because of the way that he played. He's a very good two-way midfield type player. Kennedy gave them a lot of power in there.
His best year.
And De Koning was showing levels of influence as a ruckman, and he got beaten terribly at the weekend by Oscar McInerney too, so they've lost a bit of power with him too. So at the moment, they're struggling.
The bad news for the Corns family, if in fact Kane does burn down the Christmas tree and the presents, as you suggest, someone off the Temper Text reckons he wouldn't be able to put it out because he's a failed fireman.
That may or may not be the case. Hey, what's the most damning stat? I love your stats that are provided through your connection with Champion Data. What's the most damning stat about Melbourne and their performance right now?
I'm still on the bandwagon, by the way. I still think they can win.
I know you haven't jumped off, but there is one particularly damning stat right now.
So the ball goes into your forward line. So the way they go in is my biggest issue, right?
Mm.
But the other point is that when it goes in, they're not they can't turn the ball back over in their forward half and score. Mm. That's what the good teams do. They turned it over a lot against Collingwood. The Collingwood get it out, but then they just didn't convert. So right now in the last 6 weeks, they're 18. They're worse than the comp for that. When Richmond won their three flags over the first, second or third, ball goes in, they turn it over on the way back out and score. The D's can't do that just at the moment.
And for all those doubters about Geelong out there, and there still may be some, what is the most...
This is unbelievable.
What is the most amazing stat currently about Geelong?
This is really simple. They're the best team at scoring and they're the best team at defending.
How does that stack up?
Twice in 20 years.
And who was the other team?
Geelong was one of them and they won the grand final by 119 points. And
right.
I think Richmond were the other one. So they're the only two teams that have been able to rank number one in defending and also scoring chains.
So we've seen in the space of this season, because they didn't start out like this.
We've seen them build
and become, and it may only be for one season, but they've become a super team this season.
They're a super building team who are just look like they've timed it, and they've got both parts of the game at their absolute pointy end. So look out the rest of the comp.
I just hate Geelong.
Well, we'll talk to you on Thursday, John. Just hold your fire, Johnny, from Epping. We'll take a break. Back more after this. Welcome back. I did this yesterday with Nathan, and you just told me something in the ad break which staggered me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I was talking about getting your license yesterday, Nathan. I said, it's one of the greatest days of your life as a young person. It's your first step to freedom, like absolute freedom.
Yep.
And what was clearly evident, and there were reasons for it, COVID, can't do the hours, maybe the price of petrol, maybe, you know, all those things. But young people aren't getting their license like we used to. On the day, 18, bang, book in.
Not as big a deal as what it once was.
So I'm thinking, that's outrageous. And then I said, when did you get your license?
I was 21.
What? In God's name,
I didn't need to. Gary, there was always somebody going in the same direction that I was going. I didn't feel the need to invest my hard earned in a car until I was 21.
21 years old.
I had driven, though. I had some driving experiences before then.
6 years you've been playing VFL footy and you didn't have a license.
Well, I had to drive once in the car rally. Essendon had a car rally on a Sunday, and Steve Torpin threw me the keys and said that I had to drive because he wasn't feeling well after a big night the night before.
How old were you?
16. Bunny hopped all the way up Buller Road. But by the time I got to the top, I was okay. I worked out the gear shift.
That's funny. I can't believe that.
A question.
Some people were the Carlton supporters. A few Carlton supporters aren't happy with the Harry's response. Reckon towing the company line that post the buy they've been poor. If they miss the finals, it's a fail.
Yeah.
That's what's coming through.
Post the buy, you've got your stats here, but post the buy.
I'm bad enough.
Okay, well, you've had enough of your stats, but they've fallen apart in a lot of parts of their game that they were really good at early in the season.
The Blues.
Yeah, the Blues, yeah.
Yeah, they have. But And then people say, well, they've had injuries, da, da, da. But they had injuries early in the year as well.
Yeah, no, a lot of sides have had injuries. When you looked at Mundy play at the weekend,
yeah.
Are you thinking to yourself, like, there's plenty left in the tank, and if I'm another club in the competition, he's worth a swipe at? Like, if I'm North Melbourne, say, and, mm-hmm. you know, like, he's a great team man, he's thoroughly professional, he can still play a bit, and he would get a game, one would presume. Maybe not where Freo are going, but you know, where North Melbourne are at and what they need. Would you throw him a line, potentially?
Well, yes, in the right circumstances. We spoke yesterday about this. In the right circumstances, yep. He was good enough to start in their starting four in the midfield against the Bulldogs on the weekend. That's where Freo see him. So he's still going in. He's going in against Bailey Smith and Libba and Bont and everyone else. So, yeah, I don't know. But it depends where his mind's at and whether, you know, he would want to come back and do all that stuff. But, yeah, from a pure footy point of view, he would be worthy of a spot.
And if you had the right combination of players around him, and, you know, you're a young midfield group that are developing, like North Melbourne's young midfield group, like,
you grow and learn from
it. Of course.
Here's a point about Isaac Rankin that was raised by our great producer. Could Isaac Rankin be on the verge of a Shea Bolton-style emergence? Shea Bolton, I know he's now the best.
He was an itsy-bitsy sort of player.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in the comp. But Tiger fans could tell us. I mean, he was a bit of a slow burn. He's always had potential, like Isaac's had potential. He was a small forward, like Isaac was a small forward. And then now he has exploded, and he's as good as there is right now.
Is he as fit?
Maybe Isaac could be that.
The only question mark I would have against that is he as physically equipped and capable as what Shea Bolton is? I haven't seen that. Like, I know he's got great pace and all that type of stuff. He's got great
The tricks.
He's got great ball winning.
Got the tricks.
He's got tricks, that type of stuff. But can he take a mark and do what Shea Bolton has been able to produce?
Gold Coast Suns, let us know. Well, they're probably loath to talk him up, given that he's now the subject of a huge offer from the Crows. But I thought it was a good analogy from our producer. They could be looking at him, Adelaide, going, yeah, we'll pay overs because we reckon he's just on the verge of a Bolton-like emergence.
And he may well do that. He may well be able to produce that. Mike out there thinks that I was just waiting for a freebie car deal under the table from a sponsor back in the late 70s. No, I wasn't. I paid cash for my first car.
Mark says Mundy started on the bench. Well, when I say he started, he did start in the middle at times, Marco. That's what I'm saying. So you're right, he started on the bench. But he was good enough to go and play centre square.
Yep.
In the starting four in the middle.
So. And his kicking was as good as any player on the ground too in that game.
And actually, one of the things he did do, which suggests your point's well made, he half-volleyed a ball at one stage as clean as a whistle.
He did.
Now, that's one of the first things that goes when you get old. You just can't pick the ball up. But he didn't have any issues there.
I thought Sean Darcy's performance was much better at the weekend
too.
I gave him a little bit of a clip last week.
I think he must have listened to you. Give him a bit of a cook. Hey, did you like the fact that Collingwood played that kid Ash Johnson? Is it Ash Johnson?
Yeah, Ash Johnson, yeah.
On the back of 3 goals in 5 games in the VFL?
Well, they saw something in him,
How
didn't
good
they?
Is that?
Was that through absolute necessity at the time? Did they have a couple of injuries and they were sort of like forced to? Or because he's keeping Henry out of the team now, isn't he?
He looks like a purebred key forward.
Now, he's a beautifully balanced type of player.
He's got good dukes and he's a magnificent kick.
Yeah.
What about just unearthing one of those blokes halfway through a year?
Yeah. And, you know, like so much of the conversation around Collingwood over the last couple of years, there's nothing up forward. That's why they play the way they do. Well, I always thought they played the way they did because they weren't moving the ball quickly enough there to make and take advantage of what their forwards were able to do. Yeah. What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, I've asked about 8 questions. It's your turn.
Well, the question was, Josh Kennedy, we saw the other Josh Kennedy do his hamstring in the VFL at the weekend.
Yeah.
Would that be one of the sad, if we don't see him play again at AFL level, would that be one of the saddest departures from the game in more recent times?
Yeah, well, he deserves better than that. Not that you've got to deal with what's in front of you, but his career would be, the best way would be goes out in a great finals performance and, you know, for him, hopefully, playing in the grand final, but doesn't look like it's going to happen. And that's just, there's not everyone gets the fairy tale, do they?
No. My first car, Bill wants to know what my first car was. It was a HQ Holden wagon, one of those sort of like two-tone type outfits. What was your first car? Would have been brand new.
Laser Sports.
Yeah, brand new.
No, not brand new. Was Ash it? Johnson has the biggest hands in the AFL. That's come off the temper text.
Well, that would explain a lot, though. That would explain why he looks so accomplished when he goes for a mark. He looks like he's got a lovely, nice, soft set of hands as well.
Josh Sheckie kicked 7 goals in the VFL on the weekend. He's got 20 goals from his last 6 VFL games. Could it be he's just a good VFL player?
It could be. It could be very well the case. Is that pace
such a player?
And that style, that pace of football suits him down to the ground. It could very well be the case.
Josh Bruce has kicked 1 goal, averaging 6 touches in 4 weeks.
Do you think they'll make that change? Do they think they'll swap them this week then?
Well, if he's not – what is he bringing to the table, Josh Bruce, that is keeping Josh Sheckie out?
That's a good question, because nothing that we've seen so far. I think what they're doing is they're waiting for him to produce that because they believe that he's going to be a better player for them in the forward line than what Josh Sheckie is. But they've got to play those games to get him to that level.
Here's a temper text that we should have been able to get to earlier because it might blow the joint up. Shea Bolton's kicked 39 goals. Jack Ginnivan's kicked 38. Stop talking the Kim Kardashian of the AFL up, guys. He's overrated.
No, he's not. He does more than just kick goals. I mean, that's part of what he does. He does a fair bit. I don't know if that person watches much football, but he does a fair bit more further up the field as well. The Alpine boss, you say Alpine, I say Alpine.
Asked for a pack of Alpine, no one knows what they're talking about.
Schoftauer has made a scathing assessment of our young fella from Brighton, Oscar Piastri.
Why?
He said that his loyalty and integrity is at question. It's about integrity as a human being. They've spent millions and millions and millions of euros developing him. Right. They believe that they have a watertight contract for him to drive for them for another year, and he's walked away from that.
Right. I don't know anything.
Is there an integrity issue at play here or not?
No, I can't. I would love to just back our Australian in blindly, but I know nothing about it at all. So maybe
it's been a reasonably big story that maybe you should pay attention to.
Hello.
Hello?
Just wandered in and gone whack.
The last thing I would want to do is give you a clip. But it's a reasonably big story that you should be paying more attention to.
Okay. Well, clip.
If you can just take that on notice.
Clip well received. Okay. I'll take it on notice, and tomorrow I'll be that up to speed with the Formula One. You'll say, shut up about the bloody car racing. Jess, you're our last caller for the morning.
Hey, Gary. Hey, guys. I was just listening to the discussion around Bolton v. Rankin, and I think Kim might have said something about has Rankin got the physicality?
Yeah, he did, yep.
Look, I think that it's really interesting to look at what their backgrounds are in football and where they've come from. If you look at, say, players from the Northern Territory and they enter the competition or even into their pre-seasons, they're very much underdone, you know, the smaller players, because the game's different, I think. So I think it's a really valid discussion, but I think any footballer, like a small type of dangerous forward like that, can be anything. It's just what's their starting point? Where have they been and how have they played their footy and what sort of style of footy have they played? Because it's very different, I think, once you get to those levels. And even in the VFL or in Country Victoria, it's a lot more big-bodied players. So I think it takes some players a little bit more time to develop that.
I think that's an excellent point, Jess, and very well made. You're in the running for our Caller of the Year. It's back. You can win a 2022 Toyota Hilux Rogue, safety connectivity and a tough look. Search Toyota Hilux today. Sadly, I thought she was going to give you a clip just to even up after you gave me one about Oscar Piastri.
Well, it's coming through loud and clear on the temper text. A lot of people agree with me. Your lack of knowledge about the boy from Brighton is alarming. For somebody that's hosting a breakfast radio program that talks about sport, that's what's coming.
Well, I've got a meeting. I've just texted Andrew Westacott. I'm going straight in there, and you tomorrow, 3 hours of Grand Prix.